Thank you, microdose.com. That's all I have to say right now. I have been traveling so much, planes, cars, like long, long drives. My body hurts, you know, sleeping in different beds, in different hotels, you know, everything's kind of screwy. And thank you, microdose.com. I know you've heard the word microdose before, but this is microdosing THC. And microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And you deserve to feel good. You can go to their website, microdose.com, and learn all about microdosing THC. But I'm telling you, it is amazing. They have all different strains that help with all different issues. A friend of mine just sent me a photo of her with her order from microdose.com saying thank you. I'm telling you, a lot of people do this, all sorts of people. And they do it to feel healthier. They do it to perform better. They do it to focus. They do it to sleep. They do it for pain. They do it for relaxation. It really helps your mind and body be at peace. So really check it out. Microdose.com is amazing, and the product, they taste delicious, number one, but the product is so damn good, and you deserve to feel better. So what are you going to do? You're going to go to microdose.com. If you don't already know, you're going to learn about microdosing THC, and when you get there, you're going to get 30% off your first order plus free shipping today at microdose.com, promo code Judy Gold. It is available nationwide. That is microdose.com, promo code Judy Gold, JUDYGOLD, for 30% off and free shipping. That is a lot, 30% off. And the stuff is amazing. I'm telling you, microdose.com, promo code Judy Gold. You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer, so let's bring her out. A star attraction, the one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Miss Judy Gold.
Kill me now, kill me now.
Welcome to Kill Me Now.
Oh, good name.
Yeah, Kill Me Now.
Kill me now.
Is that a song?
We
actually,
just used to, when we were in a bad situation, like in a writer's room, where
right.
It's 3 a.m, nobody said. I made up a song. Kill me now. Kill me now.
Maybe I think can that be song. Our theme song?
I think we found our jingle.
Oh
I
my
just
god!
Sang it. You've got a ringtone.
Oh, this is perfect. We're here today with Phil Rosenthal.
Another take. You want another take of it?
Yeah, do another take.
Just in case?
Yeah.
And action.
Go.
Kill me now. Kill me now.
Cut.
I love it. I love it. We're putting that on every podcast. Because you know what? All right. We're here with Phil Rosenthal. You all know him. Amazing writer, creator of... What's the name of that show again? I forgot.
Somebody likes
this guy. He's Italian. His brother's really tall. His parents are like live right. What the hell is the name of that show?
Everybody hates Redmond.
Everybody
hugs.
No.
Three people went into a coma from this bit.
That's everybody what it's called. Loves Raymond, hello. But. Phil Rosenthal, ladies and gentlemen, but Phil, I know you not as a award-winning, Peabody-winning, Emmy-winning, what would be producer, writer, creator, television,
popularity contest-winning.
You basically
not as Phil.
No,
you
I know
me
you as Phil.
As a sexually desirable.
Now, if I had to, I do believe I could. He would be the perfect husband for me.
You could get it up for me.
Oh, I could.
Man.
I could totally get it.
She says this about twice a day.
Phil, first of all, you have a new show on PBS.
Here I am.
It's called I'll Have What Phil's Having. Good night, folks! Which
could you make it sound more Jewish?
I know. Is that bad? First of all, I'll have what Phil's having is a Jewy thing.
Well, it's from that movie.
It's from the movie.
You want to hear something crazy?
What?
I swear to God, this is true. I was looking for titles for the show.
Right.
And I think it was Lou Schneider, our friend, sent me a thing. He said, we were in the restaurant the other day, and everyone was looking at the menu going, what would Phil order? And I thought, that's a funny title. Maybe, you know, like, what would Jesus do?
Right.
What would Phil order?
You could have bracelets.
As if I'm somebody. So I sent that around to some people, along with some other ones. And my friend Vanessa Silverton, who's Nancy Silverton's daughter, great person in her own right, brilliant. She sends me back, no, I don't, I think it's, I'll have what Phil's having. And I said, that's perfect.
That's it.
That's perfect. And I show it to my brother. Uh-huh. We're sitting at a deli.
Mm-hmm.
When I show it to him, he goes, that's it. You can't do better than that. Just then, the waiter from the deli comes over with the check. I am not making this up. And he says, oh, you're at the lucky table. What do you mean the lucky table? We're at Katz's Deli. He points over our head. There's a sign that says, and we didn't see it until this moment.
No way.
At this table, Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal, right? Did the famous scene?
Get
and
out.
And the lady said, I'll have what she's having.
Oh, you're full of shit.
I swear to God, that's
you know what
true.
That's called? Beshert.
Beshert.
Kismet.
Yes. Kismet. Signed
that
from God.
That is amazing. And that was Rob Reiner's mother.
How could I not do it? Yes, and Billy Crystal came up with that line on the spot. Give to Estelle.
Ah, I've heard that. Yeah.
So here we are.
Wow. I love it. Now, I have to tell you, I was at the Comedy Cellar a few weeks ago, and I bump into this guy, Ray Romano. I don't know if you know who he is. And
I didn't catch the name.
Ray Romano.
Nice, yes.
And I don't know, we were talking about, I was telling him about how we went to Blue Hill, and that was the greatest meal of my life. We had this four-hour... I mean, that was the most perfect. That was such. I can't thank you enough. That was the most amazing experience.
You know what's nice? It's only nice if you share it. And it's only nice if you share with somebody who gets it. You got it.
Anyway, it was such an experience. So he says to me, you know what? Phil needs to come up with an app. And then, you are?
Absolutely, yes.
Of course.
So I don't want to say it because if I say it,
it won't happen.
No, it's also such a good idea. I can't believe it's not out yet.
Right.
And I'm actually talking to my agents about why hasn't this come out yet and how do we do it? So I can't say it yet, but it's coming.
Yeah, okay. Heard it here first.
So Ray thought of that. You thought of his show.
I'm not giving him any money.
No, I wouldn't. He doesn't need it. He needs no money,
He has
Phil.
Enough.
But
By the way, playing a Jew in the new show. Let's plug him for a second. He's playing a Jewish, I think, agent in the new Martin Scorsese, Mick Jagger-produced HBO series called Vinyl.
He's no way.
Nice. He didn't tell you about that?
Well, he had the beard, and he was with Bobby.
More Jewish.
Yeah, and he was with Bobby Cannavale.
You know him?
Yeah, he was. He's very nice.
I don't know.
Yeah, he said, I said, hi, I'm Judy. And, oh, yeah, I know you. I love when people say, oh, yeah, I know you. And I'm thinking, I have one bathroom, and you know who I am. So, he's playing a Jew. They can't get a Jew to play a Jew?
Why aren't you playing a Jew?
I know.
On television. In the
I'm
Martin
not playing
Scorsese.
A Jew.
Why are you yelling?
I don't know, my mother. So, Phil, I did some research. As much as I could.
It's about time.
Yeah. What the hell is Poo Poo Rosenthal?
That's stupid.
What is that?
That was a credit on one of the shows where they called him, and this is, I don't even remember the name of this episode, but I know it was an episode where Ray was talking about being picked on in school, and there was a thing where they called him P.P. Raymond because he made in his pants one day.
Right.
And so Deborah, I think, brings that back and calls him P.P. Raymond. Oh, yes, she's a bully. He accuses her of being a bully.
Right.
And she says, P.P. Raymond, like getting at him.
Right.
So mean.
Right.
Funny, though. And at the end of the credits, instead of it said, based on the comedy of Ray Romano, we we put up based upon the comedy of P.P. Raymond. And then my credit came up, executive producer, Poo-Poo Rosenthal.
That's great.
I love that.
So you looked up a credits sheet.
Whatever. I just saw, IMDb, I found out.
You saw Poo-Poo Rosenthal. Please don't call me that, people, when you see me on the street.
I'm sorry. Poo-poo. I actually, you know, because I know how much you adore food, I actually thought it was because of a poo-poo platter or something. That was the first thing that came to mind.
Oh, P-U-P-U.
Let's say that. That sounds a little
right?
better than Made in His Pants Rosenthal.
Right.
Hawaii now, shout out.
You grew up in New York. I don't know how anyone would know that because it's not like you have an accent or any sort of New York
shut
affect.
Up.
And you really wanted to be an actor.
So what you're saying is...
that you're a failure!
I hear you.
You're a failure!
Don't think I don't wake up with that.
So... you went to Hofstra.
Yes.
You met Monica Horan.
After.
Oh, it was that. But she went to Hofstra
she
as well.
She transferred in the year after I graduated, which is a bit of trivia that nobody gives a shit about.
I care.
Okay.
She transferred in the year after you graduated.
And then I met her after that. I was walking on 9th Avenue. I was at the 9th Avenue Food Fair.
Right.
Did you do that?
Oh, my God. I love
it's
the 9th Avenue.
Wonderful thing.
I know. Yeah.
I met my wife at the 9th Avenue Food
Fair.
Exactly.
How'd you meet her?
I'm walking down the street. I'm eating a rib. I'm with Tom McGowan. I'm eating and dripping sauce on my Joe Jackson's Jumpin' Jive
T-shirt. Oh, yeah.
So sexy.
And
I love
here comes
Joe Jackson.
That Monica, who I'd seen in a play a week before.
Right.
With our mutual friends that crossed over our two times at Hofstra, right? And I thought she was really funny.
Right.
I didn't have any ulterior motives or anything because tell that girl she's funny. Just I saw somebody great and I wanted her to know that. You know, I thought she was funny, that's all. Now I see her. Here she comes. She's walking with our mutual friend. I think it was Lori Gunty. Right? And I see her and I go, oh, the funny girl. I'm a big fan of yours. Like that. And she goes, I'm a big fan of yours, too. Okay, so that's sweet, right?
What?
A lie.
She
never
lied?
Saw me in anything. She never heard of me. She didn't know me. She lied. The
that's
whole
my
thing
Monica. Yeah.
Built on a lie.
Right.
So I'm available, Judy, if you change your mind and hold day of life.
Wow.
And then did you make out, like, the first date?
Right there. Drop my rib, mouth on hers, done.
One
no,
bone for another.
What really happened was, you know I'm not like that.
I know.
We start a week after that. Here comes a play. I'm doing a Columbia grad school.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a part for a funny girl. And I said, what about the funny girl, Monica, that I just saw and just met? We should cast her. She's funny.
Right.
We call her up. She says, yes. She comes, and I don't know if you've been in a play. Sure you have.
Mm-hmm.
But you know how it is when you're in a play. You get to know somebody.
Oh, my! It's like camp. It's like summer camp.
Before I knew it.
Massages.
She took advantage of me.
No way. She made the first move?
Oh, she makes every move.
I know.
Was it in the ladies' dressing room?
No.
Wait, so.
Central Park right there. We're looking at Central Park right now.
Yeah.
Kissed her on a hill overlooking the boat pond for the first
and
time.
And did
right
you
there.
Did you get the fireworks? Or you were just like, thank God someone is kissing me?
It was special because I couldn't get anyone to touch me.
Right.
So it was very nice how desperate she was.
That
is that's beautiful.
And
so
now
it works in my favor.
I love that. So
that's what I look for in a mate.
Right.
Desperation. Number one.
Me too. Actually.
Writing that down.
And I'm desperate. But so, okay. So, and then you get married. You're poor. You're living at like two actors.
Yes, poor, yes.
Not for long, but long enough.
Oh, yeah, long. Like years and years and years. Yeah, 10 years.
10 years.
From college graduation to my first writing job is about 10 years.
All right. It's not. Okay. I'm living 30 years poor. All right. I'm not that. All right. Whatever.
Let's take the rest of my podcast to complain about you.
Oh, you didn't know what this was about?
Oh, please, shut up.
I know it's all about Judy. I know.
Yeah.
It's cool.
So, all right. So then you start working on Coach.
Okay, yes.
What? You don't...
There's stuff in between, but go...
Like, but that was
stuff.
That your first, like...
job on a show that people had heard of.
Okay.
My first writing job in Hollywood, you're going to think I'm making this up, the Robert Mitchum sitcom.
No way.
Yes.
So, how did you get into writing if you were Mr. Actor?
Some friends of mine and I wrote a show for ourselves to be in because we couldn't get arrested.
Right.
And that became a successful thing. At the same time, our friend Alan Kirschenbaum came to my house with a word
processor.
Who
you grew up with.
Who I grew up with in New City, New York.
Right.
he shows up with that blue and gray metal box, a word processor, it's called, 1987. We're going to write a screenplay. Right. What do you mean? I don't know nothing about writing no screenplay.
Right.
He says, I think I know the structure. Seriously.
Right.
We're going to write it about a suburban detective in New City, the town we grew up in. We're going to name it Shulman, after Millard Shulman, who lived a few houses away from me. We like that name.
Right.
We write it. Now, I'm not kidding. I have $150 in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
We sold that screenplay to HBO.
No way.
They didn't make it,
right,
ultimately. But this is $1988.
Mm.
$70,000.
No way! Are you kidding me?
My mother, I call her
I up. Can't even with I, your mother,
I call,
Helen.
I call her up.
Yeah.
I tell her.
Plots.
She goes, what do you get for something like that? I said, Alan and I are splitting $70,000.
Mm-hmm.
Silence on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Ma, she goes, do you know we've worked our whole lives to have $70,000 for me? Like you little shit. You sit on your ass and do
and
nothing.
You write some, yeah.
And you scribble
actors.
Thing, some idiocy. And they give you,
how did that make you feel?
How is the world fair?
That would be a kill me now moment. Did you want to
see that I'm 55 years old,
right, and
still,
you still can't get over it? Did you want to strangle? Did you want to strangle her?
No, it was just astounding.
Right.
And by the way, it was an honest reaction from someone who doesn't understand the way the world works,
right?
And how? What are the values in this world? She's not wrong,
right?
But I think for your son, you'd give it up a little,
right? And then what'd your dad do?
He put a sign on the roof. My son just sold the screenplay for $70,000.
Uh-huh, nice. Oh, that is so great.
Yeah.
That must have been like, oh my God. Did that give you confidence, or were you like, oh shit? Like, were you nervous? Like, oh, I better, you know.
No, the best part was that I went from being an actor and eating tuna fish for dinner every night to eating whatever I wanted.
And do you feel.
That was the best.
Amen.
I had cold sesame noodles every night because it was $2.95. And you did tuna fish. Did you do white albacore?
No, I'm not Rockefeller. I had whatever was the cheapest.
All right.
I enjoyed
dark
I had
meat
pizza,
and oil.
Right? Uh-huh. I had, and then on a special occasion, we went to Corumba. Do you remember
Corumba? Oh, my God, yes, Corumba!
Right?
On Columbus Avenue?
I had a new thing in 1985 called a quesadilla.
Oh, yeah.
It's like
they
grilled cheese,
yes,
tortilla.
Yes.
And it's a little spicy. They have these things in them called jalapenos.
Right.
And they put the green glop on top called guacamole.
I know.
I'm like, wow, this is
the best.
Exotic.
Yes.
That's the flattest bagel I've ever seen.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Nice.
Okay. Now,
that's awesome.
All right. Then you, of course, how did you meet Ray?
Oh, I'm working on Coach, and then I get a tape of a comedian who had been struggling for 12 years, and then he goes on Letterman and does one appearance.
Yeah, kills.
5 minutes.
Yeah.
Letterman sets out to do a show for that guy. He's like, somebody should make a sitcom. Or him, Letterman and his people. And the way it works is, they set about looking for a writer to create a show for the comedian. And as a writer, you're looking for comedians to create a show for.
Right.
Unless you have an idea, which I didn't have.
Right.
So this tape comes, and Monica and I saw this when we were watching Letterman 3 months ago. We love this guy. He's funny. Of course I'll take that meeting.
Right. And you had never met him before?
No. Even though we're both born in Queens.
Is that? Oh my God. Another Beshert.
That's wild. Are you from
another Beshert?
Where in Queens?
If you don't stop yelling, I have to open a window.
Really? It's that bad? I get excited when I'm around you.
No.
I can't believe that you wrote on Coach, and I'm 6'2½", and you never put me on there.
I didn't know you.
I know.
I didn't know anything about you.
Whatever.
I
go ahead. Thank you.
Jews on camera were very welcome on that show.
Okay. So you do this.
Maybe the most Gentile show in history. Show business. By the way, I had no business being there. What the hell did I know? I literally, my partner at the time, Oliver Goldstick, and I literally wrote this in one of our scripts. Coach says, he wouldn't know his your football term here from his different football term here.
No way.
Yes.
That is so.
And we left it to a Gentile to tell us what that.
That's great. That's so funny. Oh, it was such a great show.
It's just they hate the Jews in Hollywood.
And yet,
and yet
90% of us.
Hello.
Self-hating.
All right. So did they like put you in touch with like so you see this tape?
Yeah.
And you were like, oh my God, this guy's really funny.
Yeah, let's meet. We meet at Art's Deli on Ventura.
Mm-hmm. You know, I love how you, I love the food. Yeah, go ahead.
You know what the motto is?
What?
Where every sandwich is a work of art.
Yes. Where every sandwich is a work of art because it's Art's Deli. Go.
Yes. And we meet.
Oh,
and
man.
I say, tell me about yourself. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, tell me about your family. Just what I would say to you if I meet you. Who are you? Tell me about you. I like your act.
Right.
But who are you?
Right.
I have twin boys, an older daughter. My family lives close by. They're always bothering me. I have an older brother who lives with them. And he's older than me, but he's jealous of me. He touches every bite of food to his chin. He's kind of weird. He looks at my award that I won, the Cable Ace Award for comedy, and he's a cop, and he goes, never ends for Raymond. Everybody loves Raymond. And I said, wow, doesn't seem like there's anything there we could use.
Right.
But I thought also later, maybe that's the show, because first of all, he never acted before.
Right.
So I'm not going to make him, you know, gay astronaut from Cleveland, but make him something that's close to him that he understands.
That is a good show, Gay Astronaut from Cleveland.
Maybe you could do that.
I could.
Right?
I could do gay and lesbian and transgender astronaut from Cleveland.
Is gay, you don't say gay to cover all of you?
No, it's, I do. I don't
do.
Care. Yeah, I did, but now it's like.
I don't want to say the
wrong
thing.
Not all trans people are gay.
Yeah.
Of course not.
A lot of trans people are straight.
No, but you mean the gay and
lesbian. No, I meant gay lesbian. That's
no, I say I'm gay.
Okay. I'll say it too then.
All right.
You're gay.
You know what? That is the gayest thing I have ever heard. Okay.
I like it.
So you ponder.
Yeah, and I figured this is the right...
After you left, after Art's Deli.
Well, we actually deliberated over sometime what will the show be.
Right.
And he actually wanted, this is 1996, mm-hmm. he wants to do a show. He goes, does there have to be a story? Can we just, like, can I sit in the diner with my friends and talk about, like, stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like... First of all, there is already that show. It's called
Seinfeld. Right.
And second, I don't know how to write that show.
Right.
I need a story. That's all what I'm trained in. That's all I know how to do. So I the shows I grew up with, The Honeymooners, right?
Right.
These are the shows I'm trying to emulate.
Right.
All in the Family, Taxi, The Odd Couple.
Right.
Roseanne, The Cosby Show in the 80s. Can't say his name anymore.
Right.
But yes, these were the great shows that I loved, and they were all four-camera sitcoms, real seeming like life. In other words, it could happen.
Right.
The stuff in those shows could happen.
Could happen.
They took place on planet Earth.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Did I say Dick Van Dyke Show? I meant to
say
that too.
I love Dick Van Dyke,
okay.
Yeah. Dyke, so, I like... Yeah.
Hello. So, I tell him, these are my values. This is the guy, you know, if you pick me, this is the guy. By the way, he's met like 12 guys. And
really?
I was his first choice. I think he wanted a writer from Friends first.
Right.
Because that was the hot show.
Right.
So of course,
that show annoyed me.
I'm not going to talk about it because my daughter, that's her favorite show. I've come into the kitchen and Lily, for the last 5 years, has been watching.
No, she watches The Office
single day. Yeah, she switched over just recently.
Yeah.
But for 5 years, every single day I come into my kitchen, Friends is on. I say, again, Friends?
Right.
Not because I don't like it or because I don't think, but again with this? She turns to me, she says, Friends is the best sitcom ever made. And I say, that's nice that you feel that way. Why don't you go watch it at Marta Kaufman's house?
That's funny. I couldn't take that they had that gorgeous apartment. And
was the most annoying
part. That was.
That would bother me in my room, writer's room, because the
it's
one
not,
rule
could
we
not
had
happen.
Could
right.
not happen.
Right.
Right away, I don't buy it.
Right.
Now, it had a lot of other things going for it.
Right.
Probably the most beautiful people ever to be in a sitcom.
Right.
Which was the exception to the rule. But network television looked at that show and said, just cast beautiful people.
Right.
Mm.
That never works.
Which is why I never
You're too beautiful.
For Friends.
Right. Not even an audition. Okay. So
you could be on that show.
Thank you.
You could be.
I could be that nasty neighbor that's like, you kids living in this apartment, you make no goddamn money. Okay.
So Maggie Wheeler got that part.
Oh, yeah, great. So, all right. So then, so he picks you. How do you find out?
I don't know. I got a call that, if you want to do it, Ray wants to work with you. I'm like, great.
And
so
that,
we start meeting and discussing.
Did you ever have sex?
There was one time I don't want to talk about it. You have to in Hollywood.
Right, of course, because you want to really know him.
It's just the way.
Right, right.
It's not even, it's just a formality. Bend over, here we go, okay, right. Now we're in business.
They should call it Hollywood.
Hello.
Hey, good night, folks. Go.
Called him she once. That was that one time. wanted to do a show like that. I convinced him that this was the way, and I also convinced him that the very story he told me about his family, that was the show.
Right.
He was like, what? I'm like, yes, this and this and this. I see, I relate to that.
Right.
Your parents live close by. My parents live 3,000 miles away, but they may as well live across the street.
Right.
That's the metaphor in the show, the central thing of the show. And what I don't know about your family, because I didn't meet them, I'm going to be able to fill in my family.
Right.
I'm going to put my parents in. I'm going to do this. So he said, all right, go ahead. So I went and wrote a script. Right, I dropped in some of his bits and stuff that he would be comfortable with. Right. And he's a fantastic writer, too, by the way.
Yes.
And became... as the show went on, a great writer. And I wrote some episodes with him.
Wow.
And they're some of my favorite ones.
Wow.
He's terrific. He also became a terrific actor.
Yes, and he absolutely did. And his mother's is a pianist or a musician.
But that I put it in the show. His mother teaches piano in the show. That's Marie's occupation.
Right. And so his real mother was that. And I think, I always thought that's where he got his timing and...
That could be.
Yeah.
Because it is music.
Right.
That John Rickles is a drummer.
Right. Exactly. Right. Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Initially, the network doesn't want to pay you. They don't think this show is gonna. Did you feel that in the beginning that they didn't think the show was gonna be a huge hit?
I feel like they like the show,
right?
But this is not our big hit,
right?
Because why? No stars,
right?
No big stars. Peter Boyle was in the show,
right?
But that's as big a star as we have, and the world isn't jumping up and down for.
Right.
An older gentleman like Peter Boyle at this moment in time. People don't know who Rhea is.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know who Patty Eaton is,
right?
And so we're going on and we're getting the lousiest time slot.
Mm-hmm.
This is Les Moonves' first programming year, by the way, 1996. Wow. So he has shows with a lot of stars in them.
Right.
He wants to do well. I don't blame him.
Right.
Puts us on Friday night at 8:30 after Dave's World. There hadn't been a hit in that time slot since Gomer Pyle.
Wow.
Whoa.
And we didn't change that.
Right.
But we got nice reviews, and CBS and Les especially liked the show.
Right.
And he saw that the three people who were watching on Friday were coming back.
Right.
And so when he had a show doing badly on Monday night after Murphy Brown, he called me in his office and he said, starting in March of this first season, I'm going to give you 6 opportunities in this decent time slot. I'm like, really? He goes, yes, but if you don't perform there, I can't help you anymore.
Hmm. Wow.
So Ray and I got very, very nervous.
Right.
Because, yes, we're getting this shot. It's a show of confidence.
Right.
But it's also a show of, like, you're in the playoffs for the World Series.
Right.
If you don't do well, you're not going to the World Series.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You're going home.
Right.
So that's when we were nervous. So the first night on Monday, our ratings doubled.
No way.
But if you're Ray and me,
we
go, wow, uh-oh.
Why?
Because people sampled us.
Are they going to come back?
Exactly. That's all we're thinking.
Right.
Next week is the test. Not this week.
Right.
Next week. So we're nervous for that week. Our ratings went up from there.
No way.
That's when we settled down.
What week did you think, okay, we're in the clear?
That week.
The second week.
I actually clipped the Variety thing that said... Raymond's ratings went up from last week, probably securing a permanent on Monday night. Yes, that it said that.
Now, when he first asked you into his office, were you like, oh, shit. Like, did you think it was bad? Like,
no, because things were going well.
Right.
And I thought something nice was coming.
Right.
Not money.
Right.
But something nice was coming because he wanted to talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good. And... You know, and then you know, I was just, you write a thing in your room by yourself, you're hoping that Wendy Goldstein at CBS is going to recommend it to shoot a pilot.
Right.
That's all you're hoping for.
Right.
Everything that happened, I mean, getting a cast together.
Right.
Getting to shoot a pilot, right. Shooting the pilot, right. Having it go well, getting it on the air,
right.
Having it do okay, getting nice reviews, getting to Monday night, having that go well, getting another season. Every single one of these things is not winning the jackpot. It's winning the jackpot over and over and over and over.
Yes.
And over. The odds are astronomical,
right.
That this would happen. So I'm lucky to be in this nice hotel talking to you.
You might be kind of talented.
You're very sweet.
But did you ever... Like, I just need to know, when did you say this?
Easy Street?
Yeah.
Never, because I can tell you another nervous moment. The third season, we're moving, I think, from 9:30, protected by a Murphy Brown lead-in. Now Murphy Brown is going off the air. We're taking over 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
What's on at 9 o'clock on Mondays?
Football.
Monday night football.
Football.
These are the boys that would knock my books down in the hallway at school. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going up against them. And the hottest show in the country at that moment, Ally McBeal.
Ugh.
Do you remember how big that was?
Yes.
Within 3 months, I swear to you, within 3 months, we were beating both of them.
No way.
Aha, football people.
Aha, you mother. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, those football assholes who are mean to me and call me Bigfoot.
Sweet revenge.
That's right.
Yeah.
So... Your obsession,
yes,
with food.
Okay, I can tell you where this show had its roots in Everybody Loves Raymond.
Okay,
if you're
because
interested.
I'm absolutely interested. But I've known you for a while. I mean, I really know Monica really well, and then I fell in love with you. But you have always been obsessed with food,
yes.
And yet you're thin.
Yes.
So,
how does it happen?
Well, first of all.
I can tell you I was 30 pounds heavier.
I know.
15 years ago.
I know, I remember.
Because in the writer's room,
yeah.
If you've ever done that, if you're stuck in the writer's room, what we call the veal pen.
Right.
There's no sunshine coming in except the menu.
Right.
So the menu comes and that's your vacation for the day. It's what you look forward to. I call my production company, where's lunch? Because
that's the writer's
main preoccupation.
Right.
Where the hell is lunch already?
Right.
And where are we going to order from? And what are we getting? Well, if you're me... And the menu comes, you ask, what can I order? And they say, whatever you want. I said, not whatever I want. Yes. You mean like an appetizer and an entree and a dessert? Yeah, whatever you want. So, here we go.
And is that...
Ba-boom, 30 pounds. Suddenly, need new pants.
But is that when the obsession of...
No, the obsession started when I left my parents' house and I had food that and flavors that I never tasted before.
What, so your mother was not a great cook?
I'm not saying that.
Helen! Max!
My mother is a wonderful person. Smart,
yes.
Funny.
Oh, she's great.
Brilliant,
I love her.
Fantastic.
Personality don't sweeten the meat, honey. I don't know where that came
from. Call my mother and tell her.
Yes.
I don't want to.
But did you know? Okay.
But we grew up without a lot of money, and they both worked, and it was not, you know, even a value, like great food. They didn't know from that.
Right.
So,
did you go out to dinner when you were a kid?
Hardly ever. We didn't have a lot of money.
Right.
Once in a while, we'd have Chinese food on a Sunday.
Right.
Ooh.
Maybe once every 2 months.
Right.
Right? And I love that, but we always got the same goddamn thing.
What? Chicken chow mein?
Whatever my dad, you know, was okay with. A barbecued spare rib and maybe a lobster Cantonese.
Okay. Let me just tell you something.
Yeah.
We were kosher.
Right.
It took till I was 20-something
to
realize that... There's more things on a Chinese menu than vegetable,
exactly,
chow mein,
yes,
and egg drop soup.
Right. And so when you let's say you go to a Chinese restaurant without your parents for the first time,
oh, what?
Your mind is blown.
Well, I still do that. I'm 52, and
right.
I go to a restaurant and I like go to order an appetizer, and I'm like, oh, what should I do? And I'm like, I'm 52. I can order an appetizer. I can put the thermostat on whatever I want. I can order I want, and I can take a cab.
One of the best moments ever
in a film
of any kind is that moment in Ratatouille.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
where the critic takes the bite of the ratatouille at the end, and they zoom flash to him as a child.
Right.
Mm. This is genius because it's so connected. Everything you're talking about is connected to that moment. It's food and childhood. It's connected. And I believe that what we want most in a meal is to return to the thing we loved as kids in an idealized version.
Right.
What do I mean? Mm-hmm. The best slice of pizza you ever had.
Right, right, right.
The best hot dog you ever had. The stuff we ate as children. We want the idea. If somebody can create the idealized version of those things, we love them.
So, were you thinking about your next gig during the Raymond thing? Like, what do I want to do next?
I thought I'm going to ride this train until it's over.
A lot of people, gravy.
Yes,
and then you take the gravy and you make another show about gravy. Good night, everyone. I'll be here all week. Go ahead. All right, it was bad. But how did...
You have editing on
this? So...
no, but she does have Ritalin.
So, but you decided when the show was going to be over.
Which was very nice.
Right.
Now, we, you know, a lot of people in my position, we get offers to go do the next show, and you leave that show behind to somebody else. And Woody Allen said, you can't ride two horses with one behind.
Right.
And I've seen it happen, so I stayed with Raymond.
Right.
I turned down money even to stay with Raymond.
Right.
Because I knew that this was special, not just special... It was my family.
Right.
I'm writing about my family.
Right.
I never have that again.
Right. And
this
no one else is going to be able to do that.
No.
Yes.
No. Right. And I love the people.
Right.
The main thing. That is the main thing.
Special.
So, during the ninth season, I talked to Ray. I talked to the writers. I said, I think this is it.
Right.
Actually, during the eighth season, I said, I think next season is it. Because we're out of stories.
Right.
210.
That's amazing.
That's a lot of anything.
Yes.
It's enough.
Right.
Now, CBS, they would have been happy. They don't care. I was actually told by somebody at CBS, if I have Ray Romano and Doris Roberts reading the phone book, I'm going to put that on.
Right.
Meaning the writing, they don't care.
Right. Which I makes
cared.
You.
Wow.
I cared.
Right, of course.
Raymond cared, thankfully, because if Raymond would have said, I think I'm going to go on without Phil, would have happened.
You got to have integrity. So, okay.
Well, he does.
Yes.
And he knew that it's all about the writing.
Right.
You don't have a show unless you have writing.
Right.
And listen, he was one of the writers.
Right.
So he cared, too. So this is a rare thing in show business. You get to leave on your terms. You know, usually they like to break up with you.
Right.
They don't like it when you break up with them.
So you break up with them. Are they pissed?
I'm not going to say they're pissed. I will say that I know they wanted us to continue. And by the way, they're in business. So this is a show that's making money for them. I understand them not being thrilled that we leave.
When did you go into syndication? What season? 5?
Yeah, when you hit 100, you go into syndication. And we flew to New York to start the kind of syndication tour to announce our syndication. We came on September 10th, 2001.
Wow.
Oy vey.
We stayed at this hotel.
Wow.
We got in a car to go down to do the Rosie O'Donnell show.
Yes. Yes, okay. I worked on that show.
I know.
Yes.
Somebody came out and said, no show today.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Was it Judy?
No, I wasn't working. I was pregnant. Go ahead. Ben had just been born.
We actually could see the smoke from the World Trade Center down 6th Avenue.
Yes, of course. Yeah, we saw it up. On the Upper West Side. Yeah, and
so
smell. And
we
the
all
smell.
Came back to my room.
Yeah.
Could have been this room.
Right.
And we watched the horror on television.
Oh, it was awful.
And then we saw the fighter jets flying around Manhattan.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It was a terrible, terrible thing.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad I started talking about this now?
Yeah, I'm really happy.
Never forget.
That's great. Thanks, Phil.
And we were stuck here. We couldn't get home.
Right.
And we couldn't call home.
But you were close to your parents, so you felt safe.
They were a big help.
Yeah. I'm sure. So how do you decide...
They helped the nation.
How do you decide, I'm going to food.
Here's what happened. I'm going to tell you. At the end of season 1 of Raymond, I say to Ray, what are you doing on your hiatus? Right? Where are you going on your little vacation? You have 3 months before you have to be back.
Right.
Well, I go to Jersey Shore.
Right.
I said, you ever been to Europe? He said, nah. I said, no, not even Italy, where your family's from? Nah. I said, why not? He goes, I'm not really interested in other cultures. Even his own culture.
Right.
Not interested. He likes the Jersey Shore.
Right.
The light bulb goes off on my head. We have to do this episode. We have to do an episode where we send him to Italy as Ray Romano.
Right.
And we send him back as Roberto Bonini. after he's been transformed by the magic of Italy,
right.
Like I have been,
right?
And proselytized,
right.
You know, I'm like a zealot about it.
Right.
I love it so much. My favorite thing in life to do,
right?
Eat in Italy,
mm-hmm. right?
I recommend this to people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Takes 5 years to get the money from CBS to go do that episode.
I mean, the Brady Bunch went to Hawaii.
We were not the Brady Bunch.
Wow. And the Grand Canyon. Go ahead.
Okay. So 5 years.
I can't believe they wait 5 years.
I even got a call from a CBS executive the week before we started filming. I was already there.
Mm-hmm.
Can you cut some of the locations out of the show? Because this is getting expensive. I said, I'm not spendy-spendstein.
Right.
I'm very frugal, and I understand.
I hate spendy-spendstein.
At a certain point, Italy is what we are in Italy for.
Right.
We're here for those locations.
Right.
We need them. And I ignored that, and I did exactly the show that
right.
we wanted. And it turned out beautifully. It's one of our best episodes.
Yeah.
We won awards.
Yeah.
But here's the best thing that happened. I saw that what happened to Ray, the character that I wrote, happened to Ray the person.
Oh my God. I love that.
He
yes.
changed. He now goes to Italy.
Okay. Point.
Yes.
Nice. It's no, you got a point for that. That's what you yes. set out to. That's beautiful.
And
beautiful.
I can. I know the Ray who was like, I can't.
Yeah. And now,
yeah.
I mean, you should have seen him there.
Yeah.
So should we get gelato now?
Mm.
Right? After
yeah.
every meal?
Right.
Yeah, we'll get gelato. Hey, did you try this one? This one is great. And this, how about this?
Yeah.
And go, should we get pizza now?
Yeah.
Okay, but we just had dinner and gelato.
Right.
I know, but this pizza, it looks awesome. Okay, we'll get that. Okay, you know what you need after pizza? What? More gelato. So it's all night long.
Sounds fun.
Okay, so that happened. That's when the other light bulb went off. What if I could do this for other people? So that was 10 years ago. It's taken 10 years from this idea to this show that starts Monday.
I have to say, it does start Monday. It's on PBS.
When is this on?
This
podcast?
Tuesday.
Oh, great. So you missed
yeah.
it.
Shut up.
Actually,
it's
you could probably
PBS.
See it again.
PBS,
on
they keep doing it. They replay.
Yes, and you could probably go online.
Right.
And
also,
go online.
PBS but publishes their shows like a day or two later on Hulu.
And
there's a lot of different platforms.
And you can see it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm just warning. I need to warn everyone.
Yes.
I watched some of the show. You
nice.
Know, I can't watch the whole, you know.
You're very busy.
No, because they don't allow you.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. They only have little I got someone. I know someone involved, so
yes.
I got to watch.
Wow. I know someone who
yeah.
knows someone, so I got
yeah,
to watch,
so.
Too.
It makes your mouth water. And like, so it's Kol Nidre. Okay.
The intro alone. I've already changed.
It.
I'm
and,
like, I got to be Italian somewhere.
Yes.
So... I go to the Kol Nidre service. You know, it's the night before Yom Kippur. It's the first Yom Kippur without my mother. I'm like, so, I said, and you're not supposed to watch television or anything, but I was like, you know what? I can't. So I put this on.
I knew you were supposed to eat, but
and I'm not eating. And I'm like, why am I watching? And it's riveting. It is a riveting show because the joy, it is, because you're so into the food and. You're like, I was invested in you and your experience.
Oh, you watched this during a fast.
Shut up.
That's the worst.
And, but it's also the joy. Like, I've eaten with you.
Yes.
And you've eaten with. Oh, sorry, Monica. But, you know.
Hello.
Eating with you. I have to say, it is so much fun because I love food. I mean, I live for food. Everything. I think about food 24/7. And. The pleasure you derive from giving this, it's so palpable when eating with you that you enjoy, like, look, taste, isn't it good? Isn't it good? But when you ate that 100-year-old egg.
Oh, yeah. It's called the century-year-old egg. Now,
okay.
It's not really a century-old
right.
egg in Hong Kong. It just tastes that way.
So what do they do to the egg?
Yeah.
And why do they eat it? Because your face.
Yeah. Yes.
On the 100th century, I call 100, you know, when my father was in a tax in Germany. Yeah, so why, what is it?
It's an egg that's preserved in ash and lime, and it's preserved for weeks or months. And it's this delicacy that I didn't realize. It comes to the table, And what's funny, in the Jewish culture, like mm-hmm. at Seder, you would have a plate of hard-boiled eggs.
In salt water.
Or just a plate. Yeah. But it comes to the table, a plate yeah. of hard-boiled eggs right. that are peeled already.
Right.
And maybe even cut in half.
Right.
So here comes a plate of cut in half hard-boiled eggs, except the yolks on these eggs are green, and the whites are mm-hmm. a translucent brownish orange. Okay?
Okay.
So that's weird. And I'm sitting at the table with three other Chinese people. One of them says, I grew up with this. I like it. One of them says, I've had it a couple times. It's fine. One of them says, I'm not touching that. I said, really? I said, you've never had it? No. She says, it looks disgusting. Mm-hmm. I'm not tasting it. Mm-hmm. I said, if you taste it, I'll taste it. Mm-hmm. And why I say that? We're on television.
Right.
So you got to, you know.
You know, you got the stakes are high.
That's why we're here.
The right? stakes. We're all S-T-E-A-K-S. Stakes.
You sure you don't have editing?
I'm learning a lot.
Okay. And?
So she takes a tiny chasseur, trembling, because she's going to take a nibble of this thing. Mm-hmm. And me, because I'm hilarious, Judy.
Yes, I know, Philip.
I'm hilarious. Mm-hmm. I take the whole thing and pop it in my mouth.
I know.
Obviously.
You she took whore. A teeny bit. She took a teeny, teeny bit.
People die from such hilarity. I almost dropped dead because what happens when you put the century-old egg in your mouth...
The whole thing.
The whole thing, and bite down on it, the first thing...
Oh! Wow, I wonder what that is. How's your publicist? She's good, right? Go ahead.
The first thing you taste when you bite into the 100-year-old egg... is very, very, very rotten egg.
Oh, God, please, no, I can't.
What's the second thing?
But your face was like, yeah, and then?
And then that is surpassed in your mouth
uh-huh.
by the overpowering, and I mean overpowering, wave of ammonia.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
So from this day hence, this egg shall be known as cat pee egg.
Okay, can I just... And you swallowed it.
There's cat poop coffee.
The bravest thing I've ever done is chew that and swallow it.
Now you know what it felt like for me.
Yes.
When I had to, you know, the first time.
Why do you go there?
She's a 16-year-old boy.
I'm a little attracted to you. I know, I'm kidding, I'm kidding. All right, so...
I'm kidding, you're not attracted?
No, I'm attracted to you. Okay. But what? Like, I don't understand... Why would this be a delicacy?
Because here's what I learned after I did mm-hmm. my hilarious thing.
Mm-hmm.
The way it's used there is mm-hmm. a sliver. You take a tiny bit and you add it to this giant cauldron of soup.
Mm.
Like a
seasoning.
Garnish.
It's a cat pee garnish.
You wouldn't put a whole onion in your mouth.
No.
You wouldn't eat the mound of wasabi.
But that how comes come no one told me, sushi. Told you that?
Well, he had to do it.
No.
The camera was on.
No, nobody said anything.
No, I know, but you, being you had to.
When I saw the girl was timid.
That's what I mean.
Same, I'm like, what
you commit.
It's a hard-boiled egg. Let it put in your mouth. So I did it.
So you did not spit it out.
You know, my brother's one of the producers on the show. You hear him laughing. My face. You hear.
The face was I've never seen a face like that. Because, you know, whenever they do, like, cooking segments on shows.
I stink at poker because I can't
hide it. Oh, same.
Everything reads on the face. I'm just blessed or cursed.
You can kind of tell. Like, if you're watching Good Morning America or the Today Show or something and they have a cooking segment.
Yes.
You can kind of tell when they're like, oh, that's good. And they don't really. But your face, I mean, it was. I thought you were going to puke.
But I didn't.
I know.
I held it together.
And
you should be on The Amazing Race.
Yeah. And so
yet it's not that kind of show. That's how.
Yes,
that's
I know.
The only time that happened.
Right.
I'm not Andrew Zimmern. You know.
Right.
I'm not Anthony Bourdain.
Yes.
I'm not looking for that.
Right.
Right. It's not that kind of show. And by the way, I love them both. Anthony Bourdain. I'm telling people, I'm exactly like Anthony Bourdain if he was afraid of everything.
Right.
That should be your tagline.
That's how cool
just
I
like am. Anthony Bourdain.
So, and
if
then
he was
when you were in Tokyo, they had like the food was making noise.
You're talking about this beautiful thing.
Yeah.
At Narasawa, mm-hmm. which is rated the number one restaurant in all of Asia.
Wow.
You would like this. here's what happens. A plank of wood comes. It's cut from a tree.
Right.
So it's a beautiful, jagged, kind of rough piece of wood. It's beautiful. Sanded on top. Nice. And then what they've done is recreated, they call it the forest floor.
Oh,
so
cool.
You see moss and mushrooms and branches and trees. It looks like a little diorama of a scene in the forest. There's even a stream. There's even in a hollowed out,
very autistic
vessel.
Right.
As they set it down, they leave, and you start hearing the sounds of the forest coming from it.
What?
Right.
What? I go, what is this? What is happening? It's rustling leaves, wind in the branches, birds, a running stream. I'm like, what is happening?
And it's coming from that particular piece of wood.
They told me it's coming from the wood. I said, oh, so I get it. There's a sound chip in the wood. That's very clever.
Right.
And they say, no, it's not that. There's a microphone in the forest. There is a live feed the forest through the internet into the wood of yours.
I love this place.
So, and how big is the portion on the...
This is what they call the amuse-bouche. The thing before the meal starts.
Right.
Uh-huh.
The thing, and by the way, it's not one bite. This is 10 bites of food. Right? It's gorgeous. All the things are other things. In other words, it looks like a branch. It's made out of like a mushroom.
Right.
Everything is edible. It would all be pretentious bullshit, by the way, if it wasn't also delicious.
Right.
And
but
if it
is
so, what the main course? What do they have? Like zoo?
10 more courses.
Oh, my God.
All celebrating nature in some way. In other words, the elements.
Do you ever get full?
Of course. Of course.
You do?
Well, yeah.
What
I don't
do you
like
do
the
in your
4-hour formal dinner that much anymore.
Right.
When I was a starving actor here in New York and eating tuna fish every dinner forever. I read about these magical places in New York called 4-star restaurants.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I would read and call my friends. Did you see? I called Monica once. She thought I was out of my mind. This is the guy I'm dating. Did you see? La Bernadette got 4 stars.
Yeah.
I'm all excited. Why? Because I'm going to save up and I'm going to take her there. Right? And we did it. It's only good
if
you can.
Oh,
I know.
Cry.
You're so cute right now.
Right.
But here's two kids. I'm in a jacket that doesn't fit me.
Right.
And you never saw more excited people.
Right.
We're so excited that the waiter says, would you like to see the kitchen?
Aww.
Boy, would I.
That's really cute.
The kitchen, and we're in our early
glory.
20s.
Right.
And we're seeing, we think we're, it's like Walt Disney said,
right.
Would you like to see how we
right.
do everything?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like seeing your first show.
Right.
And by the way,
your first Broadway
we go
show.
For lunch to La Bernadette because we can't afford dinner. You understand?
But we
have to go.
Right.
Yes.
And you have to have that experience.
I have to do it. And once a year, my roommate Rob Wiener and I would save up.
Yeah.
Because he was as stupid as me, and we'd spend $100 on a meal.
Right.
When my parents heard that I was doing
this. Oh, forget it.
I was almost disowned.
Philip! That's Can I talk to you?
Yes, that's not
what... What the hell are you doing with the money?
That's not what money's for.
Money, are you crazy?
If you grew up in my house...
$100.
Money was to be saved for an operation.
What if I need surgery?
That's right.
What if I need surgery and you're spending...
And
Max!
You're
Max!
He ate my surgery.
Oh, worth it.
Now,
Yeah.
We...
That's a great
Have you ever had a really...
And so the sharing of that.
Right.
Yeah.
That became
That is what
essential.
The show is.
Exactly.
Isn't
right.
that what you do with your passion and who you are?
Yes.
Why not?
You share it. But he is such... You have such joy.
Well, here's the thing. I'm trying to get you off the couch to come and travel. So, right? I want you to... Like, I think if we watch Anthony Bourdain, who we love...
Right.
He's a superhero.
Right.
I'm watching him, I'm going, you're fantastic. I'm
right.
not doing that.
Right.
I'm not going to Beirut to get shot at.
Right.
I'm not eating this part of the pig that will
right.
make you die.
Right.
I have to eat food that I recognize
right.
as food because I didn't grow up like him. I'm not cool like
right.
him. So here's my real thing.
I think you're cool.
I think if people see me going to these places and eating these things, they're going to say, if that putz can go outside,
right.
so can I.
Well, you're so relatable
Thank you.
To people that it does. It makes the viewer feel comfortable.
Listen.
Yes, boss.
Very nice.
Have you
could take a lesson, maybe.
Yeah, thanks.
Your partner.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So, what about, have you ever had, like, all right, so you're doing the show.
Yes.
We have the 100, the century old deck.
Yes.
Did you ever have like a bad, like that you were like...
Yes, you know what? I film 8 days in each place.
Right.
So the ones that are just okay, I don't put them in the
right,
show.
Right, right, right.
But why bother?
Right.
I want
but
show
did them. The chefs see you walk in and they're like... Because when we went to Blue Hill, it was like, Phil, I feel like I'm with the king.
You know why? Because I love Dan Barber, the chef at Blue Hill at Stone Barns.
Right.
And also Blue Hill down in the village here. But when you eat at Blue Hill at Stone Barns, this is, I think I told you this, this is my favorite restaurant
in the whole world.
In America.
Yes.
Okay. Mm.
Oh, I thought you said in the world. It's fine.
We'll say the world. Why not?
Uh-huh.
It's America.
It's America. We are the world.
Right. We are. Okay.
I knew that. I knew I shouldn't
have. So now you know that, you know, a lot of, we talk a lot about what pisses us off on Kill Me Now.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And we can't end this without a couple of questions. First of all, we ask everyone if they're on any antidepressants.
Nope.
Which is what I told Lauren before the show. There will be no anti... But let me ask you something. Is syndication an antidepressant?
Yes.
That's what I thought. Okay. If you had no Everybody Loves Raymond...
Yes.
Would you be depressed?
No.
Okay. Anyway, cut!
But I get sad like everybody else.
Right.
You know, and I would even say I could get depressed on occasion.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But
but you're living life to the fullest.
Life is good. It has nothing to do with money.
Right. I know. I totally agree.
The poorest people in the world, they did a study. The happiest people on earth
have nothing.
Actually have nothing. It's
have
not,
nothing.
It's not everyone who has nothing is happy. It just so happens that they found the happiest.
Max, I don't understand. Philip is a big success and I'm still depressed. Now,
oh my God.
I heard that, is there anything in your kitchen that really pisses you off? It's under the sink.
How do you know this?
I don't know.
Something. My wife.
I know that.
She's a witch.
She has the little compost trash basket.
Oh, it's so good for the earth.
Very nice. So I put my apple core in there every morning. And every morning, I open that goddamn thing under the sink where this little basket is hanging on two nails. When I open it, it slips off one of the nails and hangs diagonally like an animal. I have to go in there and straighten it and put my apple core in there for the compost in the biodegradable bag that's in the basket and then re-hook it on the nail. How long do I live with this? 10 years.
10 years. That's right.
Nobody fixes it.
I think it's your turn.
But she said that they tried to fix it and it doesn't fit.
Yeah.
She said
hire
that
me, I'll come over
to,
and fix
not
it.
That I talked to her, but I heard.
We have a handyman on retainer.
Yes.
Okay? Mm-hmm. What the hell is this guy doing?
He's shit. Is he Jewish?
No.
That's it.
You want me to kill him? I'll kill him for you.
But a Jew wouldn't know how to fix it.
Is there anything else that, like, I just want to know what pisses you, like...
Nothing more than that goddamn basket under
the sink. Is
that
really the thing that...
May I ask something?
You know, when you don't have big problems, you take the little problems.
I know, which is good, yes.
How about, is there anything in the preparation of food, or a food prep, what is presented to you, anything that is like a pet peeve of yours that people do, like a garnish that's inedible?
Yeah, like I'd hate to wait on you.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes.
I like almost everything. I really
do. But do you get it? Oh, they didn't serve it right, or
no,
this?
No, I don't care.
Oh, all
just
right.
Give me
do you have a pet peeve though? Of
loud in a restaurant.
Loud restaurants.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate that.
And I found out because you know I invest in restaurants as well. For me, it's like supporting the arts.
Right.
I really enjoy it. I don't make money at it really.
Right.
I break even, I guess. And there was one or two things that I did make money, but by luck.
That's pretty cool.
Because it's a stupid investment restaurant. However.
Yeah, like a Broadway show. A
Broadway show or a boat.
Oh, boats are the worst.
Stupid.
Just throw the money in the ocean. Yeah.
I found out, you know why restaurants are so loud now? You want to guess why?
Wait. So they can get more, so people will leave and they can get more.
You're very good. You know why you know that? Because you're very cynical person.
Yes.
And you went right to the heart of it.
Right.
You got it.
Turnover.
It's a terrible business thing. And I'm like, oh, I hate knowing that.
I hate
that that's why.
Yeah.
Because
so people will get the hell out.
I'm on my, for me, restaurant, and I really believe this, a great restaurant is a vacation. mm-hmm. for the evening.
Right.
Even lunch can be this.
That's what I feel like.
Day.
A meal is, yeah.
So
absolutely.
You're ruining it with this thing. And now I find out you're doing it because you don't want me there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You want me to give you money
and
eat as
yes.
quickly as possible and get out.
That's why okay. they need to pay waiters a
well, I was
wage.
Just going to say that.
Oh, well, look at I've
what
learned.
Do you think of the fact that yes. we essentially, the customer pays the salary of the waiter.
That's not fair.
I mean, we really
for
do.
For either
it's
party.
It's like you hire someone to serve your food, and the customer is paying that salary.
This is kind of how it's been
right.
for many, many
it's
years.
It's not like that in Europe, right?
I don't
no.
think so, no.
Right.
They get a
Europe,
wage.
You ship very little.
Right.
It's just a nice courtesy.
If any
courtesy,
at all.
Right.
If anything at all.
I think, it's like, why do you think you can own a business and have the customers pay the employees?
Yeah.
Because the rents are so high and the profit margins are so tiny in America.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about the rest of the world, but I'm guessing it's not so bad. But here in America, it is bad.
Okay, then why do they have tip cups at Starbucks and at the Dell? Everyone has a goddamn tip cup.
Oh, at the grocery store
I
now.
Mean, it's ridiculous.
Because they can.
Okay, so that's number one. First of all,
America.
And that what is, I have to know this, we cannot end without knowing the favorite thing you ever ate in your entire life. If you have a gun to your head, you can have one thing.
The chocolate chip gelato at Vivoli.
I knew you were going to mention that place from the episode I watched. I could hear it in his voice.
Whatever. Really?
Uh-huh.
So you're on death row.
Yeah, I need a little of that.
And you're
going
to make them go to Italy
now, there's lots
to
of,
get you gelato.
There's going
to
be a lot. First of all, I get to live a little longer. That's
yeah,
a long trip.
That's true.
And, you know, I had to pick one thing out
right.
of a hat right now. There's lots and lots of other things.
Mm-hmm.
But you won't have time to think about it because you'll be dead.
Can I compliment my mother?
Yes. I was going to ask you if she was a
she
good cook.
She makes a killer matzo ball soup. I give
oh.
her.
You know, that's a hard thing
yes.
to make.
She does it great. And her mother did it great.
Right.
And she does it great.
Mm. Does your father cook at all?
Not at all. I can't make a can of soup.
Does he like to eat?
Not especially.
Wow.
Can he open a
he
can?
Loves a, he loves a, anything that reminds him of his childhood, like a Wiener Schnitzel.
Right.
He'll order that. He could eat that
right.
three times a day.
That's
wow.
that's a great idea for a restaurant.
What?
Wiener
to
Schnitzels?
Take, no, to take childhood foods and elevate them. I suppose that's what a lot of restaurants do. But
don't. What is with the kissing his ass thing?
I'm not. I really am into food, too.
I know.
I watch
I just
the Food Channel
food.
All the time.
You know what? I cannot be friends with someone who doesn't like food. This is the other thing that pisses me off, and then we're hanging up.
Is
okay?
It's time for dinner.
Yeah. For okay. I can't be in a relationship or friends with anyone who does not like
to eat.
Like to eat.
You know why?
Why?
It's how we connect.
Right.
Mm. Right? It's food and a sense of humor.
Right.
Yes.
I believe that's how we find our friends. That's even how we find who we're going to marry.
Mm.
The sense of humor.
Very profound. That I totally agree with.
Right?
Yes, sense of humor.
Eating
the last
have
thing.
To do,
right.
And you can't eat with somebody who's
and
not
you gotta
sharing
laugh
that
with someone. You. Yeah.
Oh,
once
sure.
the laughs go,
that, then it's
you
over.
Go.
The last thing is, and this is a lesbianic thing. I'm not kidding.
Teach me something.
All right. When I've gone out with groups, you know, first of all, I hate eating with large groups and or going out with. And there's one person at the table. The check comes. Mm-hmm. I didn't have an appetizer.
Oh, no.
And I only had soup. So yeah. I'm only putting... I don't know why I'm talking like my mother. But it's so annoying.
That's not a lesbian-like thing. That's in everything.
All right.
Everybody.
You
think you're so special with these lesbians?
Yeah, sorry.
Lesbians are notorious for being cheap.
Yeah.
Is that true?
I'm not.
That's
no,
really
no, you're
yeah.
not. No,
that
because
is, yes.
Judy
yes.
is like the
where does that come from?
The lesbian that makes up for everything.
I don't know
else.
Because they, you
so
know
my
some of the
a lesbian?
Your father's a lesbian. Oh,
old
an lesbo. Old Jewish man.
Okay.
Basically the same thing.
All right.
That's listen, really I'm funny. Starving. I don't know about you.
I'm hungry too.
I am really hungry.
Where's lunch?
Phil, thank you.
I
love you. I'm so excited about the show.
Thank you for
we have six episodes.
Paris, Barcelona, Florence, Tokyo, Hong Kong, Los Angeles.
Oh,
really?
Oh,
Los
I'm
Angeles.
Going
I
to
Los
Angeles.
The best food city in America at the moment. Sorry,
really?
New York.
Give me one place to eat while I'm there.
What do you think of the rat that took the slice of pizza down the...
I told my son, who loves 99-cent pizza,
right,
as a way to stick it to his father. You know, everybody rebels in their
right
way. So I'm like, where are you eating tonight? He goes, 99-cent pizza. I'm like, you're killing me.
Right.
I sent him the video. I said, you see this video?
Yes.
That's how they deliver the slices to your place.
Oh, God.
I love a good 99-cent slice.
Listen,
every
Phil,
once
I wish you only the best. I know
wish
this
you
show.
Nachas.
Nachas. And
extra hoch, please.
And I cannot wait to go eat with you right now. And I have to say, you have to watch the show.
What's it called?
It's called I'll Have What's Phil. Shit. It's called
Cut,
I'll
edit,
Have
action.
What's Phil. What's
oh, my God.
Phil?
Again.
I'll Have What Phil's Having. I'll Have What Phil's Having. What the hell
one
is that?
One more time.
I'll Have What Phil's Having.
Nice.
Oh, that's the best one.
That was a good
you
one. I'll
what,
cut that
guys?
One.
You know what, guys? All I have to say is I'll have what Phil's having.
Kill me now. Kill me now.
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.